Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All righty then. Let's see if we can get the aforementioned Tim Sullivan back. Do we have him? All right. Tim, welcome back. How was your trip?
Hello?
Tim, you there? Yep.
Yes,
welcome
I
back.
Am.
How was your trip? We missed you.
Well, as I was explaining to Nick, my phone goes from 100 to zero in almost as fast as my old chemistry tests. But
we've all had phones.
I apologize. I'm using my wife's phone now, so hers is much newer and has a better battery.
Well, thank her. Thank her for that. Here's what I was going to ask you before you vanished. I'm sure you're going to be part of the presser at 150 today. What will you ask him? What will be your questions for Chris Mack?
Well, I want to hear what he has to say. I mean, you know, the questions are often prompted by what statements he makes. He's, you know, I guess he was on the ACC call earlier and said that, you know, he would not comment on the situation until his presser. So now there's a lot of anticipation that, you know, that he's going to say something of substance. What that is, you know, we can only guess. I do think that some questions should be asked about, you know, his example and what precautions he's taking for the coronavirus, given how hard it's hit the team. And it looked in that video that he was not particularly careful.
Do you have any interest in knowing whether Vince Tyre was there?
I would not be surprised if he was. I mean, they're neighbors, as I understand it, and I would expect that he probably was there. But whether he was or wasn't, I think he's got to answer to what makes this different than what happened with the soccer players.
It's you know, you don't want to oversimplify anything. There have been some teams that have come back from a long layoff and played very well. There have been far more who've had a long layoff and really stumbled. As I've said earlier, it depends on the reason for your layoff. If you had games canceled because your opponent had COVID or something, you know, and you were still practicing, then it's kind of just like you're opening the season again. Doesn't mean you necessarily play poorly the first game. But when you have had a whole like a week off with no practices, and then like as Dino Gaudio said, they had like a practice with six guys. And I mean, I think if Carolina plays that well and Louisville plays that poorly, Carolina's going to win anyway. But they're not going to win by 45. How much is this thing a threat to derail the whole momentum Louisville had? How much of a threat do you see at work here?
I think it's a tremendous threat, not just to Louisville, to virtually any team out there. You know, the possibility of a team having to go into quarantine or right around tournament time is a question that the NCAA isn't ready to answer. But the sense I get is that we're likely to see some forfeits in the tournament if teams can't go. But, you know, in the meantime, it's very difficult to, I think, have any continuity, have a consistent practice schedule, much less a game schedule with all the cancellations we've seen, or postponements. I guess there'll come cancellations at some point. I asked, had a Twitter poll, I guess it was yesterday, asking, you know, how much are you willing to kind of write off this season because of the virus and to some extent because of how the Brian Bowen situation has affected recruiting. And you know, the answers were pretty mixed, but there's a significant portion, I think about 30%, was not willing to cut Louisville any slack on that, but I think most people were.
Talking to Tim Sullivan from the Courier-Journal, before I let you go, I mean, kind of lost in all this. Kentucky's won three games in a row. I have some thoughts on that, which I'll share later on in the program, but what's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, it's consistent with the historic pattern that this team seems to find its footing late in the year. Maybe it's a little later this year because of the virus, because of, you know, the impact it's had on Kentucky's practices and its ability to maintain consistency. I still don't think this is as talented a Kentucky team as we've seen in recent years, but you know, I don't know that the SEC is top to bottom as strong as some other conferences. You know, maybe the Big Ten, maybe this is their year, although it's been an awful long time since they were able to seal the deal in the Final Four. But I think to a large extent, you know, everything that's happened is a function of the virus and how it's affected some teams more than others, probably more freshman-oriented teams than veteran ones. And I think if you look at Duke and Carolina up until Saturday, you know, you would possibly see a pattern there, given their reliance on freshmen and Kentucky's as well.
Have you gotten your shot yet? Were you eligible or not yet?
I have not. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and my doctor was telling me because of my heart issues a couple of years ago that I might be able to move up a little bit in the line. But I'm eager to get it, and I hope it's soon.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I thought I was getting it the other day. My wife's an educator, so she was a 1B, and I thought I was 1B as well, but because I've had the two heart attacks, but I got there and they said, no, you're 1C. And I said, oh, well, rats. So we'll see when they start doing the 1Cs. Are you 1C? Do you know what your category is?
I believe I am.
Well, if you get an appointment, please let me know, because that means somebody's given shots to the 1Cs. So keep me posted, would you?
Well, I got a tip from a doctor yesterday who I interviewed for the story, who said that if you go to rural Kentucky, you know, they have vaccines that they need to give out, and that they're not getting as much demand as maybe they are here. And he said, you know, go to a Trump County and stand in line, and you might well get it. I'm considering that advice right now.
I'll drive to the Virginia border if I have to. So yeah, if that works for you, let me know that too. I'll go pack an overnight bag. Go. So we'll see. All right, buddy. Stay safe. Take care of yourself. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Tim Sullivan from the Courier-Journal with us here as we start our second hour here on ESPN 680 105.7. And, what is this now? Nick's sending me tweets.
Louisville got a transfer from Nebraska. And I'm tap dancing while I get this. There it is. Luke McCaffrey transferring to University of Louisville to continue his college football career. He is the brother of Christian McCaffrey.
Nice. That's good. That's Christian McCaffrey's pretty good at football, you know.
He is good at football. I'm not going to pretend like I know much about Luke McCaffrey, because I've maybe watched about 15 seconds of Nebraska football last year. I know Wandale Robinson returned to the home state and is going to Kentucky. So, you know, maybe the bluegrass has a new Nebraska pipeline. I mean, you know, corn goes with bourbon. It makes sense.
I had this worked out that you have to refine it. It's like a comedian if I brought it to. I have to work it in a club before, but I thought it would have been amusing. Our poll closed. Our polls from the other day closed. And the one you actually were just a little bit under. I asked for our long discussion on, have you ever played Spin the Bottle? and it wound up being 63% said they have. 37 said they had. You said it was going to be about 58. I thought it was going to be less than that, but as I said, I really realize I've lived a sheltered life. But somebody wrote me and said, have you ever played 7 Minutes in Heaven? And is that what it's called? And
When you make out in the closet.
Yeah, well, see, I realize now I did play that, but I guess I bunked it up because they said you spin it to you and then the girl, you get to go in a little closet and do, you know, heaven, whatever would make you really happy. So
that means there'd be a sandwich and, you know,
the first time I went Atari in there. I showed her my Stratomatic collection and I was like, ball, but she didn't like that. And then the
even better if she pulled out a 20-sided die. Like, did you get the new Negro League? I got Satchel Paige.
The second time I went back and recounted what a fabulous year 69-70 was because the Mets won the championship and the Knicks and went through some of the great players then. And oddly, I was never invited to another party, so I was curious about that. But it's a shame because I enjoyed that, yeah. You're right. It would have been awesome if you got back there and she yanked out the 27 Yankees. Bring on anybody. I'll take anybody on.
That would be hilarious.
That would have really been heaven. All right, we'll take a. You want to take a break? I don't. The whole clock is completely gumbumbled.
We should maybe stay here for a second. It's okay, Patty.
You got to remember, you got to get breaks in before Mac.
I know. Yeah, and we will. We have Peter Burns from the SEC Network coming on at 1:30. So we'll
isn't
get.
Isn't he Homer Simpson's boss?
No, that's Montgomery Burns.
Oh, okay. That would be cool if you had. I put it up as a Twitter thing, you know. I asked the Rangers if they would. They probably won't bother to check for me, but I threw it out there.
Yeah. No. You know, I'm putting some hockey minions on it to maybe if we retweet it 50 times, they'll at least take a look at it. I don't know how Twitter traffic works, but
Cards and Lex sends us this, which I've heard and yet have not been able to document. Anybody can get a vaccine at one of the big Kroger sites if you're persistent. Checking for available appointments. Very few getting vaccinated at those sites on a daily basis are 1A or 1B. See, but I don't know. What does that mean, be persistent? I got to go sit outside the store? I'm not being a wise guy. I mean, I'm really asking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm assuming it's that. I mean, you got to treat it like it was, you know, toilet paper and soap at the beginning of this whole damn thing. That you really got it, you know, you got to catch it on a one hop, I guess. Be careful. I, you know, not to sound like an overprotective mother. I don't want you outside in the cold. You know, just waiting because then that would be perfect Bobby V luck. You get the vaccine and then you get pneumonia and you're out 2 weeks.
That's what I said when I went to Lexington with your mom and she was getting the shot and I was merely freezing my ass off. But that's okay. Happy to take one for the team.
Yeah, there you go. So. Lot of texters. I sent it to you because I thought it was a funny exchange. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah, getting Luke McCaffrey, it's not the fact that he's Christian McCaffrey's brother. That's just, I guess, sprinkles on the cupcake. But it's the fact that they're adding QB depth, which is something they needed. At U of L, but typical. Our lovable Big Ten and IU correspondent Jack Crean, graduate Jack Grossman, in the producers chat said that he's not a very good thrower. That it was reminiscent of a Lynn Bowden offense when he was in for Nebraska, and Mitch just replies with Crean. I don't care. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it did. And then Crean.
Well, you got to start. Sent a laughing Mitch face. Started because Mitch said to him, Mitch Handgun set the note that said Sat is buying back into my good graces, and then Crean said he's not capable of throwing a football because whenever anybody brings up anything about the Big Ten in any way, shape, or form, Crean has to jump in.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, he's our Big Ten correspondent.
No, but about anything though. Like, you know, you can bring up the library at Illinois, and he'll say, no, it's not 4 million volumes. It's not 4.2 million volumes.
We've got the best microfiche in the region.
Yeah, microfiche. I would like to do that, by the way, which somebody might think is odd. But if I have some time in the summer and we're ever allowed to travel again, I'd like to go to Long Island Newsday and see if they have all of their newspapers somewhere. There's got to be a place. Their headquarters are somewhere where it's on microfilm. And microfiche, micro whatever the hell it's called, micro machine something, and go back and see all of my high school games. I'd like to. They used to do. All they did was one little paragraph. I mean, there's so many schools on Long Island. Oh my God! But you always every game. It was a cool time. They don't do that anymore because they can't afford the paper. So, but every game would get one little paragraph, and it would have a box score. And A, there's two reasons I want to do it. I want to put it together chronologically and keep it. My father had great scrapbooks which I don't know what the hell happened to him. I'm literally angry about that. He had incredible scrapbooks, and I don't know where they went. My nieces wrote a report on him after he died or something. I don't know how they went away, but they're gone. And I always thought that was a really cool keepsake. And the other one is to have road games and see how they spelled my name, because that was always entertaining. It was Balvano, B-A-L-V-A-N-O, Balvano.
But that makes no sense. Like here where it's, you know, a very Anglo-heavy region of the country, and they freak out because there's a vowel at the end of the last name, I can understand it. But, I mean, it's New York in the Northeast. I mean, I heard 50 different languages, you know, on the bus on the way to school, for God's sake. I mean,
some guy working on a Friday night for minimum wage. He's got a.
It's Valvano. It's easy. Yeah, like it's not Denuzio, and he left out a Z.
9,000 names. My brother was not that well known yet at that time, so he just listens to the guy. You know, this, and he writes them all down. And the worst one was De Ivano. How the hell he got that? DeiVano. He must have just made crap up.
Hmm. Yeah, I like our name, but that's kind of sexy. He's sexied it up a little bit. The Diavano, that sounds like a chocolate or a
doing here?
Or like an Alfa Romeo like model, you know.
I don't know, but I fell for the poor guy Friday. He's got, think about it. He's getting 20 names for every game, basically. You know, most teams of high schools are maybe 15 names every game between the two teams. Then he's got to get the score by quarters. Then he has to put a little paragraph together, and he's got to go do the next game, the next game, the next game. Oh, my God. Lucky they came close to getting it right. So
anyway. I kind of want to go back and see if there was any stories where I was in any box scores for baseball. Because I wasn't in, you know, no one cared about hockey. They did write a story about our hockey team because in some cockamamie poll we were ranked 2 in the nation, but that was that was ridiculous. But our baseball team, occasionally I wonder if I, you know, cracked the box score. The thing I want to find is supposedly I was in the top 10 for batting average in the state because I was like I had the minimum number of at bats and I was like 8 for 10. So I was like supposedly I was in the top 10 for a brief second. In high school baseball. I need to find that if that'd be kind of neat. But besides that, I don't think I was cracking the paper all that much.
You did, however, have the fabulous distinction of absolutely knocking down Angie Fenton on her TV report. Not many people have done that.
That's a good point. I still feel kind of bad about that.
That was hilarious.
Oh, that was hilarious. We did like a rehearsal of what we were supposed to do. You know, we're just supposed to skate around cones. At the time, I was the captain of the team, and coach even said, he was like, Val, do not screw this up. You're first in line, like the first one the camera's going to shoot. And in the rehearsal, I wiped out, almost took out the cameraman, caught an edge. And coach was like, are you effing serious? It was amazing. It was the start. It was like, it was one of the first times me and the new coach were getting to know each other. And he was just like, yeah, this is the guy with the C. Awesome. Good stuff.
All right, let's see. How about this? This is interesting. This will make fans happy. Is this? I want to make sure it's current. I'm not reading something. This is an hour ago from Brett McMurphy, and he said Notre Dame. He's quoting Notre Dame. Notre Dame Athletics welcomes the return of EA Sports College Football, a video game series that has historically helped promote interest in college football. Notre Dame will not, however, participate in the game until such time as rules have been finalized governing the participation of our student-athletes. As those rules are developed, it's our strong desire that student-athletes be allowed to benefit directly from allowing their name, image, and performance history to be used in the game. So look at Notre Dame stepping up and saying, pay our guys. You like it? You should have put a ring on it. Pay for it. You know, step up. Pay our boys. How about that?
All right. I see you, Notre Dame. There you go. I mean, they are kind of their blue blood of college football.
First guy writes, the first post says, oh, yeah, can't wait to start a dynasty with Indiana Catholic University. Yeah, that's
funny.
How they skip around it, right?
I called it every time. I've only made about a dozen good points in the 5 years I've been on the show, and this was one of them. I said this was going to be, if they brought back NCAA college football, this was going to be the first major litmus test for NLI. I said that.
Oh, sure.
I said that.
Yeah. Well, sure it is. I mean, it's an established brand, so it's, you know, it's not like a startup. B, it transcends all the.
I was gonna say it's all encompassing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you could say, well, you know, Ohio State's gonna have some issues of something they do, but this is everybody. This is all thrown into one giant pot. So, Yeah, and not only that, it's going to force their hand to try and get some uniformity of laws. There's no way this is going to be able to continue with California having one law, Georgia having another law, Florida having a third law, Texas having a fourth law. That's not going to work. So that they're clearly going to have to figure out something. Mark Ennis tweeted out that Luke McCaffrey was the number 257 player in the 2019 class. Solid addition. Let's see what else we can update you on.
Zach Osterman of, and by the way, Peter Burns is coming up next after this break. I've got a little sound bite I want you to hear. I don't know if we should play it with him. I'm not sure. But it's Zach Osterman of the Indy Star tweeting that Michael Penix is, quote, a little bit ahead of schedule by his own estimation in his return from his ACL tear. IU expects him to remain limited for spring practice.
Oh, spring practice. So exciting.
I feel like somewhere Crean is having a small grin. That brings a little bit of joy to our Crimson and Crean fellow producer. Sorry, that started off great, and then I couldn't stick to this.
Yeah, I didn't know where the hell you were going with that, but that's okay. All right, Peter Burns of the SEC Network, and I certainly think that we obviously are going to start the conversation with Kentucky all of a sudden pulling their Lazarus Act back from the dead. We'll talk about that and more SEC-related things. Peter will join us on the other side. We'll step aside, take a break, as we roll on a, so far, rather gloomy Monday. I don't know if the weather outside may be nice, but...
How's your foot?
It's been calamity. Oh, it's ridiculous. I lean on my left, I wrench my back. If I lean on my right, I kill my right foot. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to... Maybe I should do the show hanging from my ankles, you know, from the inverter thing, like what's-his-name uses. Oh, something just got delivered at the door from eBay. Tasty. I'm going to go get that, and then I'll be back. ESPN 680 and 105.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Hey, you want a chance to make some money and have some fun? Well, here's your opportunity. While it's not quite March, doesn't mean the college basketball fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, which is America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to win $100. The way you can do it, new customers bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week, and if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. I mean, that's a pretty good chance to win that one. All it takes is for one three-pointer to be hit by your chosen team to turn $1 into $100. It sounds like a no-brainer. This slam dunk of an offer won't be around forever, so head to the App Store now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and get in on all the action. If basketball isn't for you, DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds on hockey, soccer, and so much more. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its customers since 2012, so they know a thing or two about big paydays. But there's only one way to get in on the fun, and that's if you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WHBE to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. Well, don't forget the code. Promo code is WHBE for new customers to get a shot at 100-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only, restrictions apply, winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, Nick, when I was reading that, said this in my ear, and I quote, here's your... So, I don't know what that meant.
I said we have Peter. You're like an Indy car, so, you know, I say something, if it's too loud or too quiet, it spins you out. You know, you're on a very tight line. You're working at a very high level, and if I just nudge you a little bit, then you're off into the wall. So I tried to be quiet, and then you called me out on it. So now we have Peter Burns joining us now.
Shall we? Yeah, the SEC Network's Peter Burns joins us right now. Peter, good to catch up with you again. How's life treating you?
I'm frustrated because I'm trying to eat healthy. And then now I'm thinking, like, talk about getting pushed into the wall like a NASCAR race, right? Like, your producer was talking about that. Like, now the fact that I can't eat fast food and I can't have, like, waffles for breakfast, this whole diet thing is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, this is, why can't healthy food be absolutely delicious, like cheeseburgers, like, in nasty stuff like that?
I've always wondered that myself. It's hard to believe that in all the world you can't find one thing that you just go, that, oh, man, I killed to have one of those again. And the guy says, sure, eat all you want. That's great for you. Nope, there's not much like that.
I'm just trying to convince myself that Girl Scout cookies, because I just crushed like three boxes over the last 3 days, are super healthy, like kale, right? So mentally, that's where I'm there, even though I know that's not the truth.
So what is this, a Lent thing? Are you trying to lose weight, or what's going on?
No, so, all right, so, you know, obviously this is a huge busy time for us, not only just in the SEC, but just college sports, right? Because we got, you know, men's hoops, we got women's hoops, and we start getting really busy around the SEC world because we got, you know, baseball so big and softball so big. And so I told my wife, I was like, hey, we haven't been on a trip in like a year, basically, because everything. So finally we're like, all right, we're going to go on a trip, we're going to get out, take, you know, leave the kids behind for 2 days, go somewhere. And I told myself, I was like, I'm going to try to get into good shape. But then again, I trust me and my diet about as much as I trust Kentucky basketball right now. Like, some days it's good, and some days you look at it and go, maybe not so good.
Peter is of the SEC Network, as I already told you, but he also hosts Best Week Ever with Katie George, our own Katie George. You taking care of our little Louisville girl there?
Oh, my gosh. She's so damn talented. It's ridiculous. I mean, everything she calls. My favorite deal about her is that, you know, she calls SEC, you know, she's a Louisville girl, you know, from there, loves the city, always talks about it on her show. And she was calling SEC softball a couple of days ago. Well, her co-host lost connection because they're having to call some of the games out of the house. And there she was calling play-by-play and doing color of volleyball all by herself. And I'm like, that is why you're by far the most talented person on our radio show. Like, she's just she's the GOAT. And I fully think that she might have been the one who leaked the Chris Mack video and Eric Wood just to rile up Kentucky fans. So I think that's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
Oh, I don't know about that one. That one I'm not sure I'm buying. But anyway, I want to ask you about the SEC, and we have a soundbite I want to play for everybody too. But let me ask you about that video of Chris and Eric Wood. What's your reaction to it?
Honestly, it makes me love sports. Right? Like, is it the best look? No, but is it something that just kind of stokes the rivalry between these two? I mean, I don't necessarily care about Kentucky playing North Carolina State or Kentucky Mississippi State sometimes, right? Just random. But I got no dog in the fight, but I want to watch Kentucky Louisville next time, you know? And I think that's college sports at the end, right? I didn't think that it was the end, you know, everybody's making it to be a big deal, but it should be. Rivalry should be a big deal, and especially when both of these teams are humming, the sport of college basketball is in a good spot. So, you know, just like, you know, Auburn and Alabama in football, Kentucky and Louisville in basketball, certain things should be a little petty, and I think it was a fine amount of pettiness for myself.
I don't think the biggest reaction is going to be from that. I think the biggest reaction is Louisville has had as bad a time with COVID as any team in the country, and here's a bunch of guys right in the throes of it in December, no masks, climbing all over each other. And that's the thing I think that people want to ask about.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the optics are not good, especially with the pauses that they had. I mean, look at how, you know, I mean, and that's what I don't know, you know, when it was. But, I mean, if for no other reason, everybody's dealing with a bunch of junk right now. And then all of a sudden you have that performance after the North Carolina game. And you're like, geez, I mean, you know, where are we at? And, you know, I mean, for any other reason, I guess maybe it's a learning thing. You know, we talk so much about the players have to be careful on social media, and yet here we have a coach being in the thick of it. So again, it's interesting times in 2021. Can you imagine old school coaches? Can you imagine, like, I mean, like Chaney, you know, having
Luke Carnesecca jumper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and just having, like, Bobby Knight on Twitter back in the day, like, in Indiana. Like, it would have been incredible, the things they would have had.
All right, Nick, let's play this soundbite, because I think this is interesting. This is you about hoops and underdogs. Take a listen.
Because in college football, right,
Where'd he go, Nick?
I have no idea what happened there.
That was the only good bite I actually had. I said college football.
He said college football. You had him just saying college football. That was the whole cut.
I literally pulled the thing up.
What it was. So what it was I was saying about how I'm interested this year more so than any about college football. college basketball on March Madness this year, because you're not going to have the traditional blue bloods. You probably will not see Kentucky, because I don't think they're going to win the SEC tournament. Might not see Duke and North Carolina and some of these blue bloods. And I'm like, is this going to be, quote-unquote, a great March Madness tournament? And because we always complain about in college football, well, it's only the one percenters and it's the same big programs every single year, and we complain about it, but are we not feeling like it's going to lose a little bit of its luster because we don't see some of these big names? I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I think, you know, I got to be honest with you. I kind of like chaos.
Right.
So, I mean, there was a part of me that's I wouldn't want to do this on a, you know, it's like, I don't know, a really rich dessert or something. It's really cool. I wouldn't want to eat it every day in my diet. But it's been fun to watch teams trying to get games in the middle of the week. You know, we've had games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We got North Carolina sending out a, hey, anybody want to play? It's hard not to laugh out loud at that. That's basically what the tweet said. Hey, anybody free this week? Want to play a game? And they got a game out of that.
Right.
So I think it's been it's been different. We all like a little variety. So I think it's been fun. Now, whether or not, if the Final Four, I'm absolutely making crap up here, you know, that doesn't mean I'm making a prediction or anything, but if the Final Four is like, I don't know, you know, Minnesota and Oklahoma State and, you know,
Alabama.
Are people going to be jazzed up about that? I don't know. They might if a guy emerges or a storyline emerges from that team that people can relate to. I mean, nobody in America knew anything about Loyola of Chicago, and then they, you know, they had the storyline with the nun who cheered them on, and you know, and all of a sudden people got interested. So I don't know, but I don't.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I like variety more than I like a dynasty.
Yeah, well, and I think because you're a true college basketball fan. Like, if you're a true basketball fan, what you do is you want to see the cream of the crop. You want to see the best ball that's being played, but there's probably 75% of the audience that just goes, oh, well, I'll fly in. All right, I'm sure Duke's good. I'm sure North Carolina's good. I'm sure Louisville is good. Kentucky's good. And when they don't see that, what does that mean? And frankly, I don't care about the ratings. You know, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter. I look at it and go, am I going to see good caliber basketball? And that's why I'm so intrigued. I mean, look at Baylor. Baylor hasn't played almost in, it feels like, a game in a month. And, you know, we saw Michigan and Juwan Howard's squad play great against Ohio State, but they've had some times that they had to pause. Hey, Texas A&M, who we follow here in the SEC, hasn't played in about a month. I mean, we saw what happened with Louisville. So I think I'm tuned in because of the chaos, because we have no idea what's going to happen. Plus, I like the idea that it's all in Indy this year, and they're staggering the time. So, you know, we will be able to watch. I mean, you'll just be able to be a gluttonous, basketball fan watching game after game after game being played there in Indy, and I can't wait for it, frankly.
Peter Burns, SEC Network. You can follow him on Twitter, if I can get my microphone to be in the right place, at Peter Burns, ESPN. You having any more luck out of bunkers? Worst bunker player in history. I find that hard to believe.
The only reason why I've gotten better at it is because I've spent enough time in them over the years. I need Justin Thomas, the Louisville native, to give me a couple of pointers sooner or later. So,
I'll get better at one day. You're a serious player, so you won't like this rule, but I have adopted the rule. You know, Chichi Rodriguez is like, I guess he's in his upper 70s now, still plays. His rule is he never plays out of bunkers anymore. If it's in a bunker, you take it out. He says, I don't care. You don't like it, then don't bet me. So
listen, I play preferred lies unless I'm playing in a tournament anymore. I'm like, I want to go out and have fun. Unless I'm playing for money or I'm playing a structured tournament, just get the ball up. There's enough drama in everybody's life. Go out and have fun, and I appreciate that a lot more now.
So here's what I do. I'm telling you, this has helped me immensely. I mean, I'm serious. I've become now – I'm this little group I play with, they say, oh, you're like, I'm the bunker expert, which is so funny because I had no clue what I was doing. But here's the rule. If you hit it in the bunker, you take one shot to get it out. And if you like it, you play it. And if you don't, you add a stroke and you take the ball and you just drop it in front of the bunker. And it takes all the pressure off. The worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get it out right in front of the bunker. So you're still being punished, but you got a chance to make a good shot. And I'm telling you, I've had more up and downs in the last year than I have in my life. That's what the rule should be, frankly, even in any level of golf. It would make the game
Well, better. I mean, because now at that point, now what ends up happening is that you end up not putting the pressure on yourself, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it boils down to pressure and what you're going to accomplish. So I'm in for that. And it is interesting, and just kind of take it full circle back to basketball real quick about the pressure. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, some of these kids have not had a chance, and some of these blue blood programs have struggled with a little bit this year, is the mental aspect of it. Because traditionally, you know, you're spending a lot of time hanging out as a team and whatnot. And those big teams that don't have a lot of chemistry, because it's a bunch of, you know, freshman McDonald's All-Americans that don't spend a lot of time with each other before they start playing. I think that's why some of those big name programs have struggled a little bit this year versus the guys that have had 3-year, 4-year starters.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I, if you want to know the truth, I think it's one of the things that's helped Kentucky of late. They've made peace with the fact, unless they win the SEC tournament, they're not going to the NCAA. So they're just out there playing now, right? I mean, they look like the last 4 minutes of games, they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. These last three games, they've kind of been like, let's just play.
Yeah, they got through in the Auburn game, and what it is, they've established that bunker mentality that you have. Just been like, all right, you know what, no big deal. If we lose this game, we're just not going to go to the tournament. If we win it, we might not go to the tournament anyway, so might as well just have some fun. And I think now they're starting to spread the floor out. Another thing, too, is I think Cal's letting them play a little bit more athletic basketball as well, too. And I think that's getting those guys to play a little bit more kind of AAU style, which traditionally he's not a huge fan of. But I think it kind of fits this roster a little bit better. And by the way, he's looking for a game. So if we can if Cal can call Chris Mack today and just be like, hey, why don't we meet neutral ground tomorrow? How many tickets could we sell for that thing, at least for pay-per-view, if that thing was on TV?
Bellarmine just went Division I. Now they've been shut down. So somebody said, call Bellarmine. They got some open dates. So I don't know.
It's bizarre. More basketball for everybody.
So, I mean – just the simple odds tell you it's stacked against them. I mean, they're probably not going to have to play in that first game in the SEC tournament, but they would have to win 4 games in 4 days then, right? And it, to me, I think they're going to have a hard time when they play a quote-unquote offensive team. Like, Tennessee is still a defensive team. That's what they hang their hat on. And so mm-hmm. I think Kentucky can play with a lot of teams that are quote-unquote defensive teams, but I think – if a team just plays offensively, they may have a hard time, but I don't know. They could maybe beat – I mean, they probably could beat anybody in the league right now. So I mean, you're asking them to come up with 4 coin toss heads in a row to get out of the tournament, but do you think they're any kind of a threat to do that?
No, they're just not deep enough. And unless they get the double bye, which is actually possible if they run the table and a couple things above them in the SEC work out and they get the 2 byes where they only have to win 3 games, it might be possible. But the thing that hurts Kentucky is that the rest of the league has gotten a whole lot better. The floor of the league has raised, mostly because they saw ACC basketball and they were sick and tired of watching, you know, Big Ten and Big 12 and ACC do well, that they started to really invest in the facilities and invest in the coaches. So I just don't think they can do it. They'll run into an Arkansas, they'll run into an Alabama that can tempo them a little bit more. And I don't think, frankly, Kentucky can get into a game where the final score is going to be in the mid to high 80s and live to tell another day. So, again, I think it's more of a learning lesson for Cal that he's going to have to adapt. And it's something that you would think that makes him a little bit better. They were better when they lost to Robert Morris in the NIT a couple years ago, and he realized he needed to change. So, probably a big learning lesson for Cal and how he structured his program in Lexington.
Peter, it's delightful to talk to you again. Take care of yourself. Be safe out there. It's a little dangerous going, and hopefully we'll visit in the near future. Appreciate the time.
I'm going to adopt your bunker rule Wednesday when I play golf. I'm looking forward to it. See you.
You'll send me a thank you note. It's fantastic. And wait till you see the shot you'll hit. You'll hit it up within like 6 inches of the hole. They're going to say, Peter, you've been working on your bunker game? It's unbelievable. You say, just nod. Yeah, I've been working hard. I'm telling you.
Love it. I'll do it.
All right, man. Thanks. We are going to have Chris Mack here in just a moment, and we don't want to miss the beginning of that.
I have it potted up. We're good. Don't worry about that. Okay. I have to – I'm so sorry about that soundbite. I had it queued up right. That was Peter Burns playing. I listened to it. I got it from the ESPN audio finder. I had it loaded. I even previewed it during the break to make sure I had the right one. Had it queued up in the right spot. Was ready to go. Played it, and I swear I thought I heard Phil Baker. So I thought somehow I had pulled up a Sunday Morning Hangover clip, and later on in the show I'm going to get, and maybe I'm crazy, but I'm going to get a side-by-side of Phil Baker and Peter Burns.
I don't think he sounds anything like him.
No, on the phone he doesn't. But in that clip, I thought I heard Phil Baker and was like, what have I done? I've somehow switched the clips up. Maybe it was something they played on the Diener show I missed. I have no idea. But that's why I stopped playing it, because I heard Phil Baker in my ear, and I'm that is so weird. I'm so mad.
Like when you get bonked on the head and you smell bologna or something.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't know if this is some sort of like weird concussion symptom or something. You know, like I smell pancakes. I don't know what it is. I'm not tasting metal right now, or you know, like smelling burnt toast or anything like that. I still don't smell that much, but I swear. I'm so mad because I love having Peter Burns on. I was doing good radio stuff, had a clip that could lead into a point. It was going to be good radio. Damn it. Finally, I was doing good radio. And I thought I heard Phil Baker. I'm not even kidding. And it wasn't until about five times listening through that I realized that it was still that Peter Burns clip.
All right, I'm going to tell everybody, if they come see you in the restaurant, because I want you to tell them you think you have time. I don't know, hope so. You got to tell people. This should be a thing they can request, and I think you'd have people would come in just to have you do it. Tell the people what you did with the charcuterie tray.
All right. Well, I'm afraid that management's going to get really pissed at me because, you know, we try to do.
I think if people start coming in and saying and asking for you, and you're bringing customers in, they aren't going to give a damn as long as you're keeping your pants on and stuff like that. So.
Well, so. I don't know, man. I'd like to. If I'm going to do it, you know, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. I do the charcuterie board, and anyone who doesn't know, charcuterie board is, you know, a tray of meat and cheeses that goes, you know, pairs well with wine, some accoutrements like, you know, some nuts and stuff on it, put that on the mixtape. But when you do it, you're supposed to, you know, tell them what they have in front of them. You know, this is a nice, you know, Swiss Gouda. This is a nice. So I've taken it upon myself to do it like it's the Chicago Bulls 1996 intro. And so I put it in front of me, and I'm like, your starting lineup for your charcuterie board all the way from Italy. It's a Coppa. And then I like whisper, you know, what it exactly is. It's a nice cut of jaw meat, highly marbled meat. Yeah, it should be very good seasoning. And then it's like, starting at Left Cheese, it's a whole grain mustard beamster. And then, you know, the meat in the middle. You know, it's Finocchiana, you know, do all that sort of stuff. And I grab my cell phone, and sometimes I get the other people, and we flicker the lights on them so it looks like, you know. And I really need to get, you know, the Bulls intro, the serious, you know, bah, 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 and then maybe get the other patrons clapping. That'd be kind of cool. And then once, you know, the lights go off, then you do the visiting team if they have another appetizer, you know. You know, and then the visiting opponent, Dragon Trip. And then, you know, the accoutrements this evening are sort of like the referees. So, there you go.
Tonight's officials, some fresh roasted walnuts. I don't know what kind of nuts they put on there. I don't know. Just there you go. So, you can request the basketball game introduction for the charcuterie. The only thing I'll tell you is the home team's supposed to go last, so you should do those.
Yeah, games. You know, and then do the officials or the coach this evening is an apple butter spread. You know, that's the spread on it. Hey, Malik Williams is at the podium. You want to talk? You want to hear from him?
Yep. Let's take.
No, mentally, I was just in it, just excited to be back out there, just because it's been so long, way too long. But you know, it felt good physically. I feel pretty good. It's just about getting back in that basketball shape, because you know it's different when you can't actually go up and down the court and battle with all the physicality that it takes to be successful out there on the court. So it's just getting used to things now.
Jody?
Hey, Malik. When Coach Gaudio talked to us early last week, he said you had progressed, and then I think a lot of us were surprised when Coach Mack Friday night said, yeah, he's going to play. How did the last few weeks go for you? And were there ever a thought in your mind this year that you might not get back out there?
No, I never had that thought that I wouldn't play again this season. You know, the past few weeks, it just went, I believe it was February 3rd, I hit my 12-week mark. We kind of just progressed a little bit, just started walking more, slightly jogging, walking while stretching, while moving, and you know, and then that Monday hit, it was crazy because I finally get back on the court, and, you know, we're dealing with COVID protocols, so I got to work out on my own. Like, I'm out on the court by myself, got to get my own rebounds, you know. It was an exciting feeling, but, you know, it was different. But I kept progressing and getting my own workouts in, and I eventually worked my way up to practice and continued to feel well, and me and Fred finally decided that it was time I started competing, continue to feel good. So I wanted to get out there back as soon as possible.
Michael?
And like Michael McCammon from Cardinal Authority here. The guys that have referred to you as a leader all year long, obviously you're a captain and been around longer than the guys. How have you been able to lead during the time while you've been on the bench? And now that you're back, especially following this very difficult loss, how important it is for you to become a leader out on the floor?
You know, on the bench, I just wanted to use my voice, tell them things that I've seen, tell them the things that I've been through, and just try to be there for them as much as possible, just so they can be as successful as they want to be, as we can be. But, you know, now that I'm back on the court, it's about just finding the groove, finding where I fit in, because, you know, you don't want to assert yourself too much too early just because it's been so long and, you know, the connection that they had, just trying to find my spots and how I can really help the team.
Other questions? There's Shannon and then Gary.
What would you say the team's reaction was on the heels of the loss at North Carolina? And to follow up on that, what was your next practice like? Did you see any progress from guys kind of getting a little bit of wind back?
You know, you just got to chalk that North Carolina game up. You give a lot of credit to North Carolina. They're a huge team. They're physical. I mean, they played a hell of a ball game. We just didn't come out ready. You know, I think that's been common for us coming out of pauses, which we got to get under control because, you know, it can happen at any time dealing with COVID. But, you know, we just got to find a way to come out ready in games like that. You know, it was difficult for our team. We weren't able to be fully together, nothing but like 7 days for practice-wise. I was finally back. Emotions were just high, and we just didn't come out ready. We didn't compete like we need to compete.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we came back in practice the next day and we worked. I believe we got better. We were focused and I think we had a really good practice yesterday.
Hey, Malik, this is Gary Graves from AP. What things did you see differently being on the sidelines and how much did you apply that to when you got back on the court and where do you feel like it's going to help you?
You know, the things that you've seen on the side, that you see on the sideline, it's hard to apply live in the game. Like, you know, it's things that I've seen all year. And, you know, while I was out there battling, it's different. You don't catch all those things. You don't see all that. And it's just emotion. Like, you got to slow down and take it step by step. Slow motion is a lot better than no motion. And you just really got to slow the game of basketball down. And I think I was a little sped up, just excitement. Coming out on that first night, after sitting for the whole season, I was a little too excited. I think I got to find a good pace for myself and find that feel for the game.
And Malik, given your layoff and your age, you would be eligible to come back next year. Is that even an option at this point, or are you ready to move on?
I think it's optional for everybody, so... I don't know. I'm just looking forward to playing Notre Dame tomorrow and looking forward to the game after that. Looking forward to the game after that and what the end of the season take me, I don't know.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Malik? All right, Malik, welcome back and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Be back with Coach Mack shortly.
All right. Chris Mack will be joining in just a matter of a moment or two.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.